Andrew and Danny for that. Good morning, Merry Christmas. It's great to see you today. And glad that you're spending Christmas morning with us. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to finish our Advent study this morning. And we're going to look at a couple of different groups of people who made proclamations about Jesus' birth. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time, first of all, here in Matthew 2, and then we'll look over in Luke as well. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Excuse me. First of all, we want to look at this announcement by the Magi. Look there again in verses 1 and 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Stop right there. This is obviously not on Christmas Day. This is later on in, we believe, probably a couple years after Jesus was born. Wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And so they come and they make an announcement about who Jesus was. Now, they hadn't met him yet. All they knew was that a king had been born. They saw the star and they went to Jerusalem, assuming that that's the place where the king would be. It makes sense. That was the religious center of Israel. It was the nation's capital, and so they went to the most important city. These magi were part astrologers, part scientists, and part spiritual advisors. There were more than three in the traveling party, although only three types of gifts were given. We sing that song sometimes, "We Three Kings." We don't really know how many magi there were. We know that there were three types of gifts that were given. There could have been 80 or 90, or there could have been 10 or 15. We really don't know how many there were. But I have some questions about this account and about these magi. Starting with this, how did they know this special star would lead them to the King of the Jews? And more importantly, why did they care? They weren't Jewish. They weren't from Israel. So what did it matter whether or not they knew about this star? And why would they make such a long, difficult journey when they weren't even Jewish? You see, these men were probably from Babylon or that area, and it would have taken them some time to make their way over to Israel and to find the baby. There had been in Babylon for 70 plus years Jews living there. One of these Jews was a man named Daniel. Anyone ever hear of him? There's a book in the Bible that he wrote. Daniel was kind of a big deal in Babylon and in the government there. And we have the book of Daniel, but I'm sure that he probably wrote other things. He taught other things. And some of these writings and teachings and some of these sayings that he had lived on. And maybe even some of these magi that came may have even been direct descendants from Daniel. We don't know. We can only speculate about that, but we know that they knew about the Messiah that was coming, that he was not just to be the king of Israel, but the king of the world. And they knew about him. But they may have also known of Balaam's prophecy from Numbers 24. Balaam was also from that area in Mesopotamia. And this is what Balaam said. I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will rise from Israel. He will smash the forehead of Moab and strike down all the Shethites. And so it is very possible that between Daniel's teachings and what Balaam said here and other things that they had learned along the way, that they were already anticipating and looking for the Messiah. They had been looking for the king to come even when most of Israel was not. Think about that they were just in Jerusalem about 5 miles away from where Jesus was born, yet they hadn't even realized it. I'm afraid sometimes those of us who have spent a lot of time in church world can get the same way. We can be right where God is, right where God wants us to be, and we miss what he's trying to do in our lives. But then these magi, these wise men, came in. They stated their goal. It was to worship the newborn king. So were they true believers? I think they were. I believe that they were. We don't usually see people make a journey, have some kind of worship in that way that aren't true believers. And so I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll see those magi there. But we not only see their announcement, but we see the unbelief of Jerusalem. Remember, up until Gabriel showed up to Zechariah, God had been silent for 400 years. He had been talking to his people time and time again. He had been giving them information. He had been talking to them through the prophets, and they still didn't believe, and so God just stopped. You know, the sad thing is that most of Israel didn't even realize that. In fact, we're told that the Shekinah glory, that's God's glory, left the temple and left Jerusalem through the eastern gate, and that all of Israel didn't even realize that it had happened. They were worshiping God, and God was not there for them to worship any longer. But the unbelief of Jerusalem, look there in verses 3 through 6. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. You know why he was disturbed? Because they were coming and saying, where is the king of the Jews? Who was Herod? The king of the Jews. See, he was threatened already by this baby that he hadn't even met. By the way, he wasn't a real king. He was a puppet king set up by Rome. Remember, Rome had come in. They were in charge of all the land there, and they kind of threw Herod in there. He wasn't even fully Jewish in his heritage, but they put him up and made him the ruler. And so when the wise men come and say, hey, where's this king? He's like, whoa, time out a second. I'm the king. But what are you talking about? And so we see that he gets worried by that. And it says that in all Jerusalem with him, of all of the people in the world, Israel should have been looking for and expecting his arrival. I'm sure that they probably saw the star. They probably even looked at it and said, I wonder what that is. But they never investigated to find out what God was trying to do. How many times are we guilty of that same thing where God comes to us and puts clearly in front of us what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, who he wants us to talk to, and yet we don't ever even realize it? They may have even heard the story that the shepherds had told about the angels coming. If you were here last night at the Christmas Eve service, we talked about the shepherds, we talked about the angels. We talked about how the shepherds were so transformed by that encounter that they had that they could not stop telling the story. And we said, those who know the story share the story. And I'm sure that just being a few miles away, many people in Jerusalem had maybe even heard this story of these shepherds that were going around saying, we saw angels, and then we went to Bethlehem, and just like it was said, there they were, the Mary and Joseph and the baby, and it was exactly like God had told us. And so they should have known that God was up to something, but they missed it. But the Magi were there. They were kind of stirring the pot a little bit. And so Herod gathers the priests around and says, where's this king supposed to be born? And the priests knew the scripture about the location of the birth of the Messiah, but they did not act on it. We don't ever see anybody but these wise men leave Jerusalem to go to find the king that had been born in Bethlehem, miles away. You say, yeah, but they didn't have cars or anything like that. They were accustomed to doing that sort of traveling. And here were these men that were coming from many, many, many miles away from the other side of the desert, coming to worship the king, and they couldn't travel a few miles to go and worship Jesus. There was unbelief in Jerusalem. Number three, let's look briefly at the worship of the Magi. Look there in verse 7 of Matthew 2. It says, then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. Now, you see, Herod does a lot of things here to find out about the king, about the Messiah, but he never does anything to find the Messiah. He never is seeking him out. He is never trying to worship him. He's just trying to find out about him. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. He said all the right things, didn't he? But his heart was far from worship with God. See, Herod didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill him. We could read on and see how Herod came into Bethlehem and that whole area, and any male child that was 2 years old and under, he had killed. Because he was trying to kill this king that was threatening him. So the Magi went to Bethlehem, found the family, and worshiped the king. It actually says they fell on their knees and worshiped him. I can't even imagine that scene that they go, and as they leave Jerusalem, there's the star again, and they see it, and they head towards it, and it comes to rest over the house where the family is, and they go in, and they realize that at last their journey, their quest, their discovery of faith that they've been on has come to an end, and they have found the Messiah, and all they can do is fall down and worship him. Because they've been on this long journey, and they've been talking about it and anticipating what it was going to be like. And they had brought gifts along that they could give to him in worship. And they fell down and worshiped. Falling to one's knees is always a sign of respect, adoration, honor, and worship. And of course, then they came in and they presented the family with those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Again, that's where we get that. There were three wise men, three magi. There were three gifts that were given. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 2, and we look at this last group of people. Talk about two people, a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. We want to look at the prophecy of Simeon and Anna. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25, it says this. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. Israel's consolation, that's another title or another name for the Messiah, the promised one. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God day and night with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And we have this interesting story here. And we first of all look at Simeon. Simeon, it says, was a righteous man. It said that he was had the Holy Spirit on his life, and that it was revealed to him that he was not going to die before he would see the Messiah. Now, I can't imagine this, because you think about all of Israel's history, all the way if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, before Israel was a nation, the promise of the Messiah, and then all that the prophets talked about was the coming of the Messiah, and all of the sacrifices that they performed, and all of the ceremonies that they had, and the religious festivals, and all of those things were all pointing to the Messiah. And here's this one man that God says, hey, by the way, you're really righteous. I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Before you die, the Messiah is going to show up. That'd be pretty cool. That would be really, really awesome if that happened. I'm sure Simeon was just excited about that and looking forward to that. And we see that it says that Simeon was led by and obedient to the Holy Spirit, not just in this moment, but in his entire lifetime. It says there that he was guided by the Spirit to enter the temple complex. God said to him, Simeon, time to go to church. By the way, that's always a good voice to listen to right there. Simeon, time to go to church. And it says that the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, this is really important, because before the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon believers and also leave believers. That didn't mean they weren't saved, didn't mean they didn't have a relationship with God. It just meant that God worked differently during that time period. And we see that about people like Samson, you know, that when he was doing his feats of strength there, that the God, the Holy Spirit was upon him and enabling him to do those things. And then the Spirit of God would depart from him, and then it would come back. We see that about Old Testament believers. And so Simeon, it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The verbiage there leads us to believe that he was almost continually indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing for an Old Testament believer. But we see Simeon pick up Jesus and proclaim in the temple that he was the Messiah. Now, in my mind, this is kind of like a Lion King Simba type of moment, if you know what I mean. Like, he's picking him up, he's standing up on the platform, and he holds him up like this, and all the zebras bow down, and all those sort of things happen. In my mind, that's how that goes. Probably not the case. He probably just walked over to them and realized, because God, the Holy Spirit, let him know, said, this is the Messiah. And he just kind of picked it up and cradled that baby and was like, y'all need to know something. This right here, this is the Messiah. God has told me that I was going to see the Messiah, and this is the Messiah. I'm holding the Messiah, Israel's consolation, the one that was promised, that's going to sit on the throne of David forever. I'm holding him right now. He was very excited about that. But he also told Mary something. He told Mary that this child was going to be a sword that would pierce her soul. Now, I don't think that's a very encouraging thing to say to a new mother, do you? Hey, by the way, this kid's going to cause you a lot of grief. It might be true, right? It's not something you normally say. But why did he say that? Well, he was prophesying and signifying that Jesus was going to die young, 33 years old, and that it was going to be painful to Mary. Remember, we're told that Mary was right there at the cross as Jesus died, and that Jesus obviously loved her very much, because he looked at the apostle John and said, hey John, would you take care of my mom for me? For this time on, would you just look after her, because I'm not going to be here to do that anymore. And John's like, I got you. And said from that day that John took her as his own mother. But then we see Anna. And it said this, that Anna served God in the temple daily and nightly. She had been married for 7 years, and she had been widowed for 84 years. She was kind of young. And she spent a lot of time in the temple. Why? Because she recognized that after her husband died, that she had one devotion and one duty, and that was to God. And so I'm very sure that Simeon and Anna, they knew each other. They probably talked about the Messiah a lot. And I'm sure that as they spent time together, that Simeon just shared with Anna, hey, I need to let you know something. God has told me that in my lifetime I'm going to see the Messiah. So she walks in, and she sees Simeon holding this baby and proclaiming things, and she's like, that's the one. That's the one right there that we've been talking about, that we've been looking forward to. And Anna came up when Simeon was speaking and began to thank God and tell everyone about the birth of Messiah. And I love this, that she began explaining to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel, looking forward to this Messiah. I think a lot of times we look at the Bible, especially in Jesus' day, and we look at Israel and we say they're a bunch of losers because look at them. They didn't believe in Jesus, but there were many. There were many who were looking forward to the Messiah coming. And so these two wonderful, godly, righteous people, they said, I just want to let you guys know. Because when you know the story, you share the story. What are our takeaways this morning? Three things, and we'll be finished. Number one, excuse me, am I like the Magi, looking for, talking about, and worshiping King Jesus? Or am I like Herod and the Israelites, missing what is right in front of me? Can I tell you something? We have more access to the Word of God today than ever before. I have a whole shelf in my office of Bibles. And in my study at home, I've got another shelf with more Bibles on it. I have like three apps on my phone that are Bible apps. You can go online and go to Bible.com or BlueLetterBible.com and different places and have access to the Word of God in all sorts of different translations. What we have that we hold in our hands is so much greater than a star in the sky. Because that star that the Magi were following, it was just this one thing. But here, we get to hold the words of God. And so are we like the Magi, that we are seeking out God, that we are seeking out His Word, or are we like the Israelites, or are we like King Herod, that we totally miss it all? Number two, am I as excited about celebrating the birth of Jesus as Simeon and Anna were? Or am I more interested in the festivities? I love Christmas time. It's a great time of the year, and it's always a time you get to spend with friends and family. And I've already preached to you my love of eggnog that comes out only at this time of the year. There's a lot of great things about this time of the year, but what are we excited about? Number three, am I one who proclaims the Messiah boldly? When the Magi came, they weren't ashamed about going into Jerusalem and saying, hey, where's the King of the Jews? When the shepherds went into Bethlehem, they weren't worried that it was nighttime, people might be sleeping. They were looking for the Messiah. When Simeon and Anna, when they went into the temple there and they saw there was the Messiah, they didn't take him in a back room somewhere. They didn't kind of get a little group and just kind of whisper about it. They boldly proclaimed, this is the Messiah. Those who know the story share the story. Jesus, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this awesome opportunity that we have to come and worship together on the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus here on earth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be men and women, boys and girls, who know the story and share the story. I pray that we would be like the Magi, looking for what you have to say to us. That we wouldn't be like King Herod. We wouldn't be like Israel. That we're missing what's right in front of us. God, I pray that we would, like Simeon and Anna, be boldly proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. Lord, we live in the midst of a dying, sinful world. We have people all around us who right now, if they were to die, they would spend eternity in a real place called hell. Lord, I pray that you would burden on us the need, the desire, the want to tell other people your great story. Lord, it is not lost on me that you had a great burden for me, that you had a great burden for all the world, so much so that you gave up everything to come here. Lord, the least that we can do is to share your story. And I pray that you would make us bold men and women who are willing to open our mouths and to share about the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that only Jesus brings. Right now, in the quietness of this moment, we're kind of coming to the end of a year here, beginning of a new year. And I just want to challenge us, church, to be people who know the story and share the story. And there might be something in your life right now that's hindering you from doing that. There may be some sin there. There may be some, I don't know, lifestyle that in there that's causing you to not be a witness for Jesus. Would you just take a moment this morning and say, God, would you help me to be like the Magi? Would you help me to be like the shepherds? Would you help me to be like Simeon and Anna? Jesus, I pray that we would be obedient to go and do what you've laid on our hearts in this moment to do. I pray that this moment that we have here would not end when we walk out into the parking lot. But that we continue on with us so we can be the men and women, the boys and girls that you want us to be. And we'll do it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.